Jesus is bringing many sons to glory. Part 1.
There is in humanity a certain disdain for ignorance in anything they're interested in. It's part of the divine image that's in mankind. It's depicted in Scripture a number of places. One that is particularly impressive to my own spirit is found in the Revelation. When John was an aged man, exiled in the Isle of Patmos, an isle jutting out into the Aegean Sea, he is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he received a word, came to him, as the Revelation progressed in the 5th chapter. A door in heaven was opened up. Now, if you're familiar with Scripture, you'll know that there weren't many doors opened up in heaven prior to the Lord Jesus. Ezekiel once said he saw a door opened in heaven, and he's about the only one that had such a vision. God spoke one time about the opening the windows of heaven. If his people would bring in the tithes into the storehouse, he'd open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. But a door in heaven, that meant God was about to show something. John peered, he caught up in the Spirit, and he got a glimpse of the heavenly throne and the majestic person that was seated upon it. Oh, what an awesome sight it was. There were angelic hosts all gathered around a holy congregation of saints. And as he peered, he saw that the one on the throne had a book in his hand. It was written on the outside, on the inside, but it was sealed. Nobody could read it. And a thunderous angel spoke out and asked if there was anybody who could open up the seals. Who's worthy to open the book and loose the seals? There's a moment of silence. And apparently some angelic personality from another part of that sacred chamber called back and said, "No man, no man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Now John broke his heart. He could tell there's something here that needs to be known. He records his response. He said, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Oh, some people can settle for ignorance. They don't mind not knowing. They don't mind not understanding the Scriptures. They can live a whole lifetime, wouldn't care less if it never was opened up to them. These people are going to give an account to God for not being interested in what He revealed. John walked with Jesus. He said, "The disciple Jesus loved." I dedicate that to everybody that says Jesus loves everybody alike. You better go learn what that means. He was not a disciple Jesus loved, the disciple He loved. And being close to Jesus made John want to know what was going on. What was this book? This is a book, you might say, of divine destiny. It was a book of eternal purpose. It was a heavenly log of what God's going to do and what He was doing. And John didn't want to be ignorant about it. He was weeping much, and all of a sudden, like a thunderous cataract, a voice comes roaring back and says, "One of the elders said to him," one of the 24 personalities clustered around the throne, said, "Weep not! Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof." Now, I showed that to you to say, this is what's happening in this week we've had here. We're opening the seals, showing you what God's doing. And you've just seen the beginning. The end is not yet. The people of God are still discontent to be in the dark about what God's doing. Let's call a moratorium on talking about what men want, what men need, where men go, and what men build. Let's call a moratorium on it and stop the mouths of them. It's time to start hearing what God's doing. All right, that kind of sets the stage for my text. This is Hebrews 2:10. And you might expect it's talking about God and about Jesus and what the something that's becoming to God. God does some things very, very becoming of Him. Now, in the second chapter of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit is developing why it was necessary to have a man save us. Why an angel couldn't save us. A man had to do it. Hebrews 2:10 says it became him, we say becoming to him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. My message is, what is Jesus doing now? He's bringing many sons to glory. Now let me get it straight for you here. Jesus is not solving problems. He has solved the only problem He's going to solve. You better be getting on His solution. If you expect Jesus to be a genie in a bottle and come running every time you have trouble, there's a whole line of saints that are going to say, didn't you read my record about being in prison? Didn't you read my record about being in a furnace? Didn't you read my record about being in a lion's den? And my record about being stoned? Who started this stuff about everything working out all right for people that trust God? Talk about work out all right. It's at the end it works out all right. There's a wilderness in between here and there. So He's bringing. That means they're not there yet. I know some people say we've already got everything we're going to get. We've already got it. Well, see, we just got to stop those men from preaching. Don't pay them. Dry up the coffers. They're hurting you by preaching stuff like that because we're saved by hope. That means you ain't got it yet. We're saved by hope, and hope that's seen, it's not hope. He's bringing to the destination. If you can never get in the group, you'll get there. Don't you doubt this for one moment. If you can get in this group He's bringing, you'll get there. Amen. He said one time, of all that you gave me, I lost none except the son of perdition. And the only reason I lost him was so the scripture could be fulfilled. Bringing many sons to glory. Now, what we're seeing here in this text is that in order to get these sons to glory, there had to be some extra work done. God had to make some special provision to get these people here. If you want to know how hard salvation was, so to speak, a challenge to God. In fact, there had to be something added to divinity in order to save humanity. God had to step down into the arena in order to bring them home. This is all deliberate, you understand, because the purpose of God is to magnify His grace throughout the ages to come, and to display grace, you've got to have a reason for grace. So this salvation's designed to get you through a troublesome realm over an extended time till at last you end up, and when you get there, you know God's the reason you got there. Amen. It's all designed for that. Amen. In the midst of this exposition, He said the Word had become flesh. Jesus became flesh. He was made like unto the people He's going to redeem. Not just so He could die. It's true He had to become flesh to die, but I'm going beyond that now. Because it took more than the death of Christ to save you. It did not. It took more than the death of Christ to save you. If Christ had died, not raised, it had all been for nothing. Christ had died, raised from the dead, not went back to heaven, still would have been for nothing. If it had died, raised from the dead, went back to heaven, didn't intercede, it'd still be for nothing. Took a lot to save men. Don't be telling people it's so easy to be saved. Listen, it's harder than a camel going through the eye of a needle. When you talk about how easy it is to be saved, you got to say what the disciples said. It's impossible with men. Amen. Who can be saved? Jesus said, well, it is impossible with men. So much for the nice little handy plans people are preaching. So much for the film series that teach people how to come to Jesus. Come on now. So much for all this to try and simplify salvation. If you want to be saved, you've got to be brought to the point that you see it can't be done if God doesn't do it. Amen. And even God, He went to a great length to do it. It was essential that the Word become like us in form and experience. Wasn't enough just to look like us. Had to experience what we experience. And our text says it was becoming. Was becoming to God to do this. God's going to require the Word to humble Himself, lay aside the prerogatives of deity. In other words, He can't defeat Satan as God. He can't do it. God defeated him as a man. He can't engage the devil up in the heavenly host up here. Gabriel, Michael can do that. Can't do it. He's got to engage him in the earth as a man. He's got to come into the world not knowing anything, not knowing how to speak, not being able to reason, not being able to think, having to depend on Joseph to take care of him. He's got to come in now. Like this, he's got to grow up. And this is now God manifesting the place we're talking about here. He's got to increase in wisdom. And the grace of God's got to be on him. So much for grace meaning unmerited favor, which it doesn't. That's mercy. Mercy means that. I don't know why people confuse mercy and grace. How could grace mean unmerited favor? Luke 2:40 says the grace of God was upon Jesus. He sure merited it, I'll tell you that.